This is Radio Times. I'm Artie Moss-Cohen. El Camino de Santiago, or the Way of St. James, is a Christian pilgrimage route that has been traveled for 1,000 years. It's the inspiration for a new film called The Way that stars Martin Sheen and is written, directed, and produced by his son, Emilio Estevez. Sheen plays Tom Avery, a doctor whose only son, Daniel, played by Estevez, dies while hiking this trail. Tom goes to get Daniel's remains and decides to complete his son's journey. Along the way, he meets up with three fellow travelers, each on their own personal and spiritual quest. Here's a scene early in the film where Tom is driving Daniel to the airport for the start of his trip.
You should fly with me.
Yeah, right.
Turn the car around, pack a bag, grab your passport, forget your golf clubs. Come on, a father-son trip. It'll be fun.
When are you coming back?
I don't know.
So you don't have a plan?
We agreed that if I let you take me to the airport, you wouldn't lecture me about how I'm ruining my life.
I lied. You know, most people don't have the luxury of just picking up and leaving it all behind, Daniel.
Well, I'm not most people. If I don't have your blessing, that's fine. But don't judge this. Don't judge me.
My life here might not seem like much to you, but it's the life I choose.
You don't choose a life, Dad. You live one.
Martin Sheen and Emilio Estevez join us here on Radio Times. Nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty.
Nice
it's a
to
pleasure.
Be here.
Thank nice
you,
to
Marty.
Have you both here. And Emilio, let me begin with you. Where did this idea for this story start?
It began in 2003 when my father went to Spain to what he wanted to do was walk the Camino, but he only allowed himself 2 weeks.
Now, anyone who knows enough time to do
really
500 miles. Right?
He also forgot his backpack and his walking stick and proper shoes. But what he didn't forget to bring was his assistant. That was my son, who was 19 at the time, working as his assistant on the West Wing. This was during the hiatus between season 3 and 4. And off they went to Spain. They arrived in a town called Burgos, which is about 200 kilometers into the trek. And they stopped at a bed and breakfast called a Casa Rural. And at this bed and breakfast, the innkeeper's daughter walked in the room to serve the pilgrim's supper. And my son took a look at her, and he describes it as fireworks.
Fell in love,
came home, declared he was going to move to Spain, and he's been there ever since. He's been there for 8.5 years. They're married. So my father said, hey, if you want to spend some time with your son, if you want to see him, you better figure out how to work in Spain and make a film there. And by the way, how about you write one for me to star in?
That seems like a lot of directions there. I heard, Martin Sheen, that the idea originally was do a documentary about this trail.
Well, yes, that was my original intent. And then after the miracle with his son, Taylor, who's wife's name is Julia, and her mother's name, incidentally, is Milagros. So I always call that union the first miracle on the Camino for us, because it sparked the whole initiative. Now I forgot your question.
Well, that's okay. And I have another question, and I know that feeling myself. Sometimes I forget my questions. But what's interesting, a lot of father-son stories are about a son kind of getting to reconciling with a father, in a sense, maybe becoming the man the father wanted him to be.
Sure, the ghost of Hamlet.
This is really a reverse, where the father, in a sense, becomes his son.
Right.
Through
the son, the father becomes whole. He becomes awake in the world, and he becomes himself.
How would you describe Tom Avery? He's an ophthalmologist.
Yeah, he's a doctor in Southern California. He lives a very isolated life. His idea of a foursome is with his fellow doctors Wednesday afternoon at the local country club, which is very private. And he's a widower, and he's not what you'd call a citizen of the world, as Emilio describes him. And I was surprised he even had a passport. Or maybe he had to get one to do this journey, you know.
Right.
But this is not the sort of thing he would do, you know. He ends up with a foursome of knuckleheads on the Camino just a few weeks later. And it changes his life. And as Emilio said, he becomes himself. And it's a story of healing. It's a story of The Camino itself, it's filmed in sequence. It took us 40 days, which is somewhat biblical.
And 40 biblical, nights.
And 40 nights along the way. It was an extraordinary journey. And we, along the way, we met quite a few pilgrims who all were there for different reasons. And they were all personal, of course. And all the pilgrims in the film that you see that are not speaking are real pilgrims that gave us their permission to appear on camera. And it's a project that we've been working on for a couple of years. Because when I came back from Spain in 2003 to talk to Emilio about the possibility of doing a film there, he was still very much engaged in doing Bobby, you know, working on that production.
Bobby
Kennedy. Yeah, so I knew this project would have to wait. But now to get back to your initial question.
Now you do remember my question.
The idea I had was a story about these two old guys on the Camino with this young fellow as their guide. He falls in love right under their noses, and they don't have a clue.
Right.
And that's that was the original
idea. That's the
movie
we didn't make.
I was going
to
say,
Emilio said, well, that's a one-line kind of story, and we can do better than that. So thank God he didn't use my idea.
Well, he does, he meaning Tom, meets these three people on the road. I did think, not entirely, but a little bit of the Wizard of Oz.
Of course. Yeah.
I mean, they're not exactly the Cowardly Lion and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow, but these are three people also searching for something.
Well, we discover the writer, Jack, in a haystack, and what is he suffering from? Writer's block, which is mental, right?
Yes.
And she's had this, made this horrible choice that's left a hole in her heart, so she's our Tin Man. And certainly Joost, the Dutchman, could be considered our Cowardly Lion. And you know what's interesting, too? The Camino is marked in yellow, and our Emerald City is, in fact, Santiago de Compostela.
Oh, interesting. I mean, did you think of that consciously?
I did.
You did?
I did. So, you know, and the question is, we often bump into this, is do you guide the viewer to that conclusion, or do you allow them to discover it on their own? And I don't know how you felt as a viewer and now certainly a journalist. Would you have preferred to, right? I'm going to throw the question
back
at you, Marty. Would you have preferred to know this going in, or was it a lovely discovery?
I think it's better as a lovely discovery. Mm. And again, it wasn't literal, but there were just those experiences, I think, when you see The Wizard of Oz.
It pays homage.
Yes.
Right? Or it pays homage to Canterbury Tales.
You know, there's a line in it where that you speak, Martin Sheen, that you wrote, Emilio Estevez, our children are the very best and the very worst of us. And I scribbled that down because I thought it was true.
Right, yeah.
And also very moving and profound.
Right. Yes, I think as parents, we have that legacy in front of us. You know, we're always trying to protect our children. We know it's impossible. We still do the best we can. And, you know, from the time they start walking, we have to open the door for them and allow them their freedom. Otherwise, they'll sneak out through the window, you know, and who knows what's going to happen.
And they may do that anyway.
They may do that
anyway. I did plenty of that, sneaking out of the window.
What was your relationship like growing up?
Well, it was pretty typical. However, what my parents insisted on is that the family stay together. So when my father would get a job, whether it was local, and what I mean local is in the States, he would insist that the family go. So we'd pile in the Country Squire station wagon, and off we'd go to Colorado or Wyoming or West Virginia. And if it was abroad, to Europe, he always insisted that the company provide six tickets. And I think what my parents believe that for the family to stay together, they actually had to physically stay together. And as a result, I had a wonderful opportunity to see the world. It wasn't always the most extraordinary places, but they were always the most extraordinary experiences.
Well, and in this movie, one senses that Tom and Daniel are estranged. I mean, that they don't spend time together. They don't really know each other. Certainly, Tom doesn't really know his son.
Right, right. Okay. And I think the son here is a bit... Daniel is a bit lost. He's in the middle of his doctorate, getting his PhD there in Berkeley. And like many people, I think who find themselves in that world, getting a PhD or in cultural anthropology or philosophy, it speaks to something that I think is, he's a bit lost.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's not fulfilled, I think, in the world of academia. So he goes. He says, I got to go. I got to go. I got to get out of here.
And one senses that, that Tom is lost as well. I mean, he's followed this path. He's a successful doctor. He goes to this, you know, he has his country club, so he has a good life. But one senses that he's, and even the way you walk the trail, I mean, you don't really look at your surroundings.
No,
you're like, it's like a forced march that you're doing.
The only thing he's looking at is his watch, you know, in the beginning of him
damn thing
at the
over with, right?
Yeah, when he starts out, he's only interested in getting it done. And he has a very, you know, spirited American type, what do you call, pioneer attitude. You know, I can do this thing and I can do it alone. Well, fine, but you see the trouble he gets into when he's on his own. And that speaks to one of the themes of the movie, which is that, you know, all of us are required to go on our own personal pilgrimages. And we have to carry all the things that we've acquired, both exteriorly and interiorly. And no one can carry your pack. No one can walk in your shoes. You must do it alone. And yet you cannot do it without community, which is extended family. And that's one of the central lessons, I think, of the movie, if you want to call it a lesson. It's just so clear when you get out there on the Camino that that's happening to 99% of the pilgrims, you know. Of course, after a while, you know, pilgrims begin to shed a lot of the excess baggage they've carried in their backpack. And then the transcendence begins to start, the journey inside, the real pilgrimage starts, where you open up the dungeons of your heart and you begin to let those people go that you've been harboring angst against and blamed all your life for various things. And you begin to let go of judgment and resentment and anger and jealousy, all of it. And you begin to become yourself. You begin to really work your way into your own freedom. And you give yourself that gift. That's the real, I think, the real journey of pilgrimage.
And did you experience that making this movie? I mean, you were on a kind of a pilgrimage, I guess.
Well, I've been on one all my life. You know, you don't have to go to Santiago or Mecca or Jerusalem or Rome. You know,
well,
as
David, our producer, Dave Alexander, who's a Philly boy, likes to say, some people need to be applauded just for getting out of bed every day.
Yeah.
Their pilgrimage may simply be to the kitchen. Right.
Yeah.
So you don't, as he said, you don't have to go to Mecca. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. Don't have to go to Santiago for pilgrimage. You just have to get up and start moving in a direction. But I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, not at all.
You know what? Hold on to that thought, only because we're coming up on a break here, and I want to take that break and then get back to our conversation. Our guests today on Radio Times are Martin Sheen and Emilio Estevez, father and son, and they have collaborated on a new movie called The Way. In fact, The Way opens on October 7th here in the Philadelphia area, and it's going to be at AMC Neshaminy, Plymouth Meeting, and Cherry Hill. And tonight they're going to be at Walmart in Bensalem at 7 o'clock, obviously continuing our conversation here on Radio Times. Give us a call, 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
WHYY is proudly supported by the McCarter Theater in Princeton, New Jersey, presenting 10 Cents a Dance, a new musical, with performances now through October 9th. Director John Doyle of Broadway's Sweeney Todd brings his touch to the Rodgers and Hart songbook with a cast that doubles as the orchestra, featuring Malcolm Getz and Donna McKechnie. Ticket information to McCarter Theater in Princeton, New Jersey at 609-258-2787 or at McCarter.org.
Discipline is a challenge from the terrible twos to the teenage years. How does discipline look at different ages? Have your kids divided and conquered you? How should parents talk about behavior, rules, and expectations? I'm Mike and Scott. Join us for WHYY's next parenting seminar, Tuesday, October 11th at 6:30 p.m. here at WHYY. Parents and experts will explore solutions together. For information, visit whyy.org/member experience.
Morristown Friends School proudly supports WHYY and is hosting an admissions open house on Sunday, October 23rd at 2 p.m. Founded in 1785, Morristown Friends offers rigorous academics coupled with a spiritual and ethical education program for students in preschool through grade 12. More information, multimedia, and all open house dates can be found online at mfsopportunities.org. mfsopportunities.org.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Emilio Estevez has written, directed, and produced a new movie about a father whose son dies while walking the Christian pilgrimage route known as El Camino de Santiago, or The Way of St. James. And The Way stars Estevez's father, Martin Sheen, both of whom join us here in our Philadelphia studios. 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. This is such an unusual publicity tour in that you are on a bus.
That's right.
Touring the country.
That's right.
In a sense, you know, pitching this movie, trying to sell this movie. Why do you feel like you have to do it yourself? And is it that no one else would do it for you?
Well, you know, we screened the film in Toronto last year. At that time, we were looking for a distributor. We had a couple of offers, but they felt like they were going to be direct-to-DVD sort of situations for us. So we thought, listen, we went to Spain. We made this film. We cut it. We took the film out on the road last year. We screened it for audiences in Denver and Detroit, Dallas, Sacramento, and we got a read on the film that people were digging it, and it felt more mainstream. So based on that, we thought, well, hey, let's do this ourselves. Let's figure out who will bring aboard as partners. So Walmart came aboard as a partner. AMC Theaters came aboard, and we were able to put enough money together to create a bus tour. And our idea was to take the film out to what Hollywood likes to call the flyover states. And we prefer to call
them
the
Midwest.
The Midwest. We call them the United States. And there's a lot going on out there. And people have been incredibly receptive to the film. We've screened it now for probably 30,000 people. And we stand in front of them and we do Q&As, not pre-screened. The audience has never been pre-screened, and they're free to ask whatever questions they like, and they've been responding.
And particularly the young people, which surprised us. Well, I mean, we knew we had the AARP crowd, you know, but we just screened
you bring
it for
those
them,
in, right?
Yes, you know, they love the idea of some old guy walking over the Pyrenees with a heavy backpack. So they've been very generous and receptive. But what stunned us were the young people responding, and nowhere greater than just past week. We went for a screening and a Q&A afterwards at Virginia Tech. And that was just stunning.
They started an online a social media campaign for us to detour the bus and bring the film and ourselves there. And we couldn't ignore it. So we screened it to 3,000 university students, and it was just off the charts.
A great part of our film is about healing.
Yes.
And there's no more sensitive spot in the nation about healing than Blacksburg.
Indeed.
And so we were very, very gratified. Yeah.
Emilio, do you see this as a religious film?
I don't. In fact, there's a line in the film where the gypsy father says to Tom's character, religion has nothing to do with this, nothing at all.
Including the trail itself.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, we were out there. We would meet agnostics and atheists and outdoor adventurers, people looking for a six-week workout. In fact, we met probably more non-believers than we did believers, which I thought was ironic and not what I was expecting, frankly.
Was it religious for you, Martin Sheen?
Well, you know, religion is a little more difficult to define these days because of dogma. So often dogma, you know, is what divides us. And so I would prefer the term spiritual, you know. It's our spirituality, which is part of our humanity, that unites us. And so that is the trek of pilgrimage. It's a deeply personal journey, and whatever your image of spirituality or humanity is. For my own part, I believe that the genius of God is choosing to dwell in our own persons individually, and when we discover that, we've discovered fire for the second time, as Teilhard de Chardin says. But we don't hit you over the head with it in the film. And I think, you know, as we're talking here, I'm just thinking how often we have to remind people of the great humor in the film about these four knuckleheads along this path and their foibles and their, you know, their humanity and their
brokenness.
Their pettiness. Yeah, I mean, all things human come out in the film. And some of them are hilarious, but they're endearing, you know, and they become a community by the time they reach Santiago. It's a very strong community.
And what's it like to direct your dad? This is not the first time you've directed your father.
No, this is the third time, in fact.
Does he get better?
He does.
Since he's gotten used to your style?
He does, yes. He's gotten much better at listening.
Frankly, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. This is the best thing I've ever done in my life.
Really?
And I know he doesn't want to hear this, but if it's the last thing I do, I couldn't be happier, frankly.
Is that because he's your son? And
what he did for me, not only writing it for me, but directing me, insisting that I do it, because he could have taken the script to any studio in town, and we know this for a fact, and could have gotten any number of big-name stars that he could have gotten financed
for. Well, there's so few parts written for gents of this age that carry the film. For me, I was not going to do the film if he was not a part of it.
I mean, did you write it for your father?
I did. In fact, this of the three times we've worked together in this capacity, director, actor, I actually collaborated with him on this more than any of the others. I live right down the street from my parents, and so that's a good thing and a bad thing, because he knows I'm there,
right?
And he can see my car in the driveway. And
does he come and bother you?
Hey, I got an idea for a scene. Hey, I got another idea for a scene.
But I know you're in there. Right, answer the door.
But it was a collaboration, and all kids want to please their parents. And the fact that we brought this to fruition and we're sitting here with you now is yet another miracle, frankly.
Well, if I may just say Emilio is being very generous. I submitted a few ideas, frankly, and that's like saying, would you try these notes? He composed the piece and he structured it so brilliantly and allowed me to play first violin, which I haven't done in like 20 years, you know, so... I'm just deeply grateful to him, and frankly, I couldn't be happier with the result.
You know, I have to say, Martin Sheen, that as I was watching it, I couldn't help but think about your son Charlie Sheen, who's going through some really difficult times in a very public way. And here, this is a very poignant story about a father and a son. You know, the kind of distance between these two. And how they, in a sense, kind of reconnect on this trail. But I couldn't not think about your other son.
Well, none of my children are very far away from my heart. And in fact, those that are experiencing the most difficult times are the closest. They need the most love at that time, and Charlie's no exception. Mm-hmm.
And were you thinking about him as you were making this? Although, I guess maybe you made this before.
Well, we made the film the year before last, so none of what you're referring to was going on. But, it's no secret that Charlie was having some difficult times. And we just saw him at the screening for the AARP. He's nuts about the film. He's a great supporter. And he's looking great, and he's to new projects, and I just embrace him as always and love him. And
seems like he's walking a new Camino.
There would you say
a new
so?
Path. Yeah. It seems, yeah. Yeah.
It's tough, though. I mean, tough coming back from these problems, addiction, things like that.
And to do it publicly, he's a very gutsy guy. He has a great deal of courage. And I admire him tremendously.
You know, he was roasted recently on Comedy Central, and you did a kind of a promo spot with him.
Yeah, he asked me to do. He wrote it for the two of us to do, and I was delighted. I didn't see the roast itself because we were on the road, so I missed it.
We were in Dayton that night.
We were in my hometown, Dayton, Ohio. Yeah,
but it has some apocalypse references, and you know.
All that belonged to him, and he's welcome to it. I adore him, and I was grateful. I've never, ever once turned any of my children down for any request that I could help them with, and that was no exception.
And that's Martin Sheen, who joins us along with Emilio Estevez, his son, and they have collaborated on a new film called The Way, and it stars Martin Sheen, written, directed, and produced by Emilio Estevez, and they are joining us today in Radio Times talking about the creation of this film, and we're also taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Emilio, there's a scene, I guess, at the very end of this The Way, the Camino, where we're in a church and there's this gigantic silver urn. I'm not sure exactly what to call it.
Incense.
It's incense filled with incense.
Right. It's called the Butto Fumero.
Well, it's an incredible scene because it's filled with incense, and, and we've got, what, monks, including you as the sort of ghost of Daniel, pulling on the rope, and
that's
the incense swings through
the cathedral there.
It's an ancient ritual. It goes back to the Middle Ages. You know, people would come from all over the world, and some of them traveled literally years to get there, and they would stay in the cathedral before they started their journeys home, and some of them, you know, were not smelling too fresh. So that was a practical way of sweetening the air.
Yes.
And now it's done as a tradition and a great blessing. Incense is an offering to God and acknowledges God's presence. And first time we saw it the year before, it drew a thunderous applause from the congregation. And so Emilio said, we must put this on film. But it was not an easy task.
Well, because, I was wondering
about Emilio would tell you, we struggled. And we were not given permission to go into the cathedral until 48 hours before we got there. So it was a crisis. If we didn't get in there, we had no film.
Right.
And then they were offering up another church down the street for us to film in. And I said, no. I'll rewrite the script before I do that. But here we were. You have to imagine. We're in Spain. We're making a film about one of their national treasures, The Way of St. James. And we're asking for permission to shoot in this institution, this on this hallowed ground. And you can imagine they looked at us with a certain amount of skepticism. They view Americans as being very cynical. Imagine that. And so
where'd they get that idea, right?
And the church was not having the best publicity at the time. And so I'm sure they figured, well, we were going to poke fun, when it couldn't have been further from the truth. We were there to honor and to lift up not only the Camino but the cathedral and the church as well.
People on the pilgrimage say, good Camino.
I mean, buen Camino.
Buen Camino.
That's a greeting that,
is,
that you hear.
Good journey.
A good journey.
And when you're in the Pyrenees, it's bon chemin.
And was this a spiritual journey for you, Emilio?
Well, sure. I mean, the film is, you know, I often say the proof isn't just in the pudding. It's in the eating of the pudding. And if you've seen the film, then you sort of, it's a reflection. Right. You know that it's a reflection of where my heart is and the journey that I'm on. I'm not interested in making movies about killing people anymore. I'm not interested in making films that are vulgar. You know, that's the low-hanging fruit. And we talk about cynicism and we talk about pessimism. And, you know, politicians and the media goes there, too. We're all guilty because it's easy. And I invite all of us, I invite the conversation to take a limb, right? Climb up into that tree and taste the fruit. It's sweeter and the view's better.
And how much of this Camino did you walk, do you think, Martin Sheen?
We both calculated we did about half.
Yeah.
But mind you, you know, when you're doing a movie, you know, you don't go from A to B.
No,
very
you
often
don't.
You go to A to B and then back to A, you know. So we
take
would walk
two,
along
take three,
and then he'd call us back. Well, there was the focus was out or you went out of whatever. And we'd have to do it again and again. And then we'd have to go back again for the coverage. So, but we walked a good stretch of it. Yeah, although, and I think Emilio is looking for it too, we both longed to do the Camino without a camera or a cell phone, just a backpack and our thoughts. And
truly unplugged.
And a comfortable pair of shoes.
Yeah. And was it always sunny?
It was.
Really?
Yeah, in fact, we waited on the sun. We were cautioned while we were prepping down in Madrid about shooting in Spain at that time of year. They said it's going to rain every day. It rained twice, and both times we were shooting interiors.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Lucky, lucky. Let me get John from Mount Airy to join our conversation. And, John, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I am so excited about seeing this film because a number of years ago, I rented a car. I drove the Camino from Pamplona to Santiago and stopped many times along the way because it was just so amazing. And brought some friends back subsequently as well on a trip that I took. But the one thing that I've always felt reinforced again and again that affected me so profoundly, and I'm wondering if you had any of this experience yourselves, was just connecting with the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that have walked along that trip as well. I stopped at one place called Eunate. It's a pilgrimage church near the town of Puente La Arena. And it's built in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
They don't know why
right.
it was built there.
Right.
They do know that there are many pilgrims that were buried there.
That's right.
But it's just one of those places. I thought, I've never been to the pyramids. I have been to Stonehenge. But it has that same kind of depth that you know are in places like that.
Right.
And
John,
I'm so moved by it.
Yeah, well, we can hear that.
You'll
Go ahead,
see,
Amelia.
You'll see that particular church in Eyunate in the film. It is featured in the film. So I hope it serves to take you back there once again.
John, thanks for calling into Radio Times. You can call as well, 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Martin Sheen, when did you want to be an actor? How young were you?
Oh, gosh, I have no memory of ever not being an actor. I didn't know what it was at the time. You know, I didn't have language or experience, but I knew there was something living inside of me which was, helping me to identify myself. And it was only when I started going to the movies, I guess I was around the age 5 or 6, and gradually in the movies it dawned on me, oh, you're one of those people up on screen.
Really?
Oh, well, that's it. Never mind. Fine. And I was happy as Larry. And it was a tremendous revelation, extraordinary. And I knew that I would never be happy if I didn't pursue this thing, this energy. It possessed me, and it gave me a possession of myself. So that's been a presence my entire conscious life.
Did you have to convince your parents? This goes back, of course, a number of years, but did you have to convince them that you had this passion to be an actor?
My mother died when I was 11, so yeah, my father had this, he's from Spain, you may know. In fact, he grew up in a little village called Bararrubias in Salta Revolta, which is just about 80 kilometers from Santiago de Compostela, yeah. So he was old world and a dear, dear man. I adored him, but it was difficult to get him to realize where I was at that time. I had no intention of going to college. He was insisting I go. I took an entrance examination to the University of Dayton, and I threw it on purpose, trying to tell
you
him
failed
that
it on purpose.
I did, yes.
Huh?
I still hold the record, I'm told. Out of a possible 100, I got a 3, which I'm not proud of, but it made the point. And my dad finally realized, well, it's wasting his time trying to talk me into going to college. So I went to New York when I was 18. And it wasn't until I left and committed myself to my dream that he blessed me. Up until then, he just thought I was a lunatic. Well, he got that part right. But, I mean, I had a vision, you know. And he became my biggest supporter.
I was going to say, was he proud?
Oh, God, yes. The only thing that disturbed him was that I had changed my name. I hadn't changed it officially. You know, my name is Ramon.
Estevez.
Yeah, Estevez. And that's still my name. But I created Martin Sheen because it made it, I thought, a bit easier to get along in the profession over in New York. I was in New York at the time, and it was involved in the theater. So when he came to New York, he retired in 1965. I was on Broadway at the time in a huge hit called The Subject Was Roses. He came to see it, and I saw him looking at the marquee, and my name wasn't there. There was this makey-up guy named Martin Sheen. So that was really the only regret I had in our relationship.
Well, let's take a very short break. We'll get back to our conversation, I should say, with our guests, Martin Sheen and Emilio Estevez. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Lancaster City Arts is proud to support WHYY. Lancaster City Arts, 125 art venues, all within one walkable community. From galleries, art studios, museums, and an art college, to music, poetry, dance, photography, professional theater, and symphony, it's an opportunity to experience something different in an art scene that's quite unexpected itself. Lancaster City Arts. The journey starts online at lancasterarts.com.
On the next Fresh Air, see Peter Wagner, a leading apostle in the new Apostolic Reformation. Its missions include dominion, taking leadership positions in government, education, business, and the media, and evangelizing cities by conducting spiritual warfare against demons. Several apostles affiliated with the movement helped organize or spoke at Rick Perry's prayer rally. Join us.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
The new documentary, Jonathan's Return, tells the story of a young man's battle with mental illness. It's also a portrait of a family, unglued yet bound together by the instability of a loved one.
Literally hell, not for 5 weeks, man. Hell for a year and a half.
I'm Dan Gottlieb, and on the next Voices in the Family, Families and Mental Illness. Today at noon, right here on WHYY FM.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane talking with Emilio Estevez, actor, director, writer. His new film is called The Way, and it stars his father, Martin Sheen, who also joins us here in our Philadelphia studios. And The Way is opening nationally on Friday, October 7th. And in fact, you can see it here in the Philadelphia area at the AMC Cherry Hill, Neshaminy, and Plymouth meeting. You can also catch up with our guests. They're speaking tonight at the Walmart in Bensalem. It's a meet and greet, and it begins at 7 o'clock. You can also call us at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Emilio, your dad was talking about changing his name.
That's right.
You obviously have claimed that name,
right.
or held on to the name.
Right.
Is that just a different time?
Well, sure. Again, this is 1979 when I made the choice to jump in and start doing this as a profession. And my agents at the time and managers who were romancing me said, hey, how about you change your name because you don't look Latino? And again, 1979, 1980, it still would have been somewhat difficult. But he imposed his will, as fathers often do to their sons, and said... And said, don't make the same mistake I did. And in fact, the first headshot that I had made up, I had Emilio Sheen on it. And it looked just so stupid. It looked terrible. And I knew that was a false note. And I went back to...
But did you also want to make your own way?
I did.
Not be the son
I
of
did,
Martin
yeah.
Sheen?
I did, yeah. I thought... And then once I started working, I would always... And I saw my name in print, then it would always say right afterwards, parenthetically, Martin Sheen's son. I thought, wow, okay. Well, they're going
to
say that anyway.
Right,
I'm going to have to live with that,
right? Well, I know that, Martin Sheen, this has probably been done to you more than you care, but nonetheless, I did rewatch the very beginning of Apocalypse Now, just because it's iconic at this point. And I do want to play just a small scene. We hear... helicopters, we hear the music from the Doors, we see you as a young man lying on a bed, and there are just all these various images. We see the overhead fan. I think people listening will know exactly what I'm talking about. But I want to play this scene, and you are Captain Benjamin Willard. You're awaiting your mission in a Vietnamese hotel during the Vietnam War, 1979.
Saigon. I'm still only in Saigon. Every time I think I'm gonna wake up back in the jungle. When I was home after my first tour, it was worse. I'd wake up and it'd be nothing. I hardly said a word to my wife until I said yes to a divorce. When I was here, I wanted to be there. When I was there, all I could think of was getting back into the jungle. I'm here a week now, waiting for a mission, getting softer. I stay in this room, I get weaker. And every minute Charlie squats in the bush, he gets stronger. Each time I looked around, the walls moved in a little tighter.
What that's like for you to listen to that. It is,
I haven't heard that for quite a while.
It's absolutely frightening, and your voice is so exhausted. It's so depleted and empty.
Well, that's a reflection of the character. You know, this guy was a professional hitman, for the army, and you've got to be in a very, very dark place. You know, I've heard it said, who dies first, the assassin or the assassinated? And the saying is, the assassin, because you have to be dead in order to kill. Yeah.
This was a tough time in your life as well.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. But it's over now.
I was going to say, but it's over now.
You know, it's an interesting parallel. I would say that Apocalypse Now and The Way are more kindred than one would immediately recognize at first glance. It's a road movie. The Apocalypse is a journey upriver. He's saddled with these four guys on a boat that he doesn't want to be with. Tom's his character in The Way is saddled with these three characters on the road that he doesn't want to be with.
What a great segue.
Both pay homage to, obviously, Hearts of Darkness by Joseph Conrad, but that pays homage to the Canterbury Tales, and then we all pay homage to Homer's Odyssey. Right? Mm-hmm. Any great road movie starts there.
It's true. It takes us out of ourselves. Right. You know, it forces us to find our true selves, you know, and our true mission. Yeah.
But, you know, what's interesting, too, if I may, you know, this is a movie where my father got to play an extension of who he really is, a role that is as close to his heart, I think, that he's ever been able to play. He's not an assassin for the military. He's a father. He's a very deeply spiritual man. And he has, I think, you know, led by example. And that is ultimately who Tom becomes by the end of this film.
I do want to play another clip. And I have to say, when we posted on our Facebook page that you two were going to be here, including you, Martin Sheen, we got several presidential comments. And I'm sure because you played Josiah Bartlett.
Yes.
Yes,
of course.
And President of the United States in The West Wing. And I want to play a scene where you are angry. And this is after the funeral of Mrs. Langenham. She was your assistant and she died. And you are angry at God. Let's listen to this.
There's a tropical storm that's gaining speed and power. They say we haven't had a storm this bad since you took out that tender ship of mine in the North Atlantic last year. 68 crew. You know what a tender ship does? Fixes the other ships. Doesn't even carry guns. Just goes around, fixes the other ships, and delivers the mail. That's all it can do. Gracias, Tibiago Domine. Yes, I lied. It was a sin. I've committed many sins. Have I displeased you, you feckless thug? 3.8 million new jobs. That wasn't good. Bailed out Mexico, increased foreign trade, 30 million new acres of land for conservation, put Mendoza on the bench. We're not fighting a war. I've raised three children. That's not enough to buy me out of the doghouse. Hey, Kratom, adeo pio. Adeo justo. Adeo shito.
And that's a scene from The West Wing. It's a very powerful scene, and you are in the National Cathedral, and you're
having it out. With the Almighty.
A feckless thug.
Nothing personal, Lord.
Have you ever been mad at God?
Oh God, yes, of course. You know, it's Job, isn't it? It's Job. You know, Job rages at what's befallen him, and then he turns back up and says, on the other hand, thanks a lot for all the good things that you send me. You know, yeah, it's Job. Yeah. That, you know, Aaron Sorkin is an absolute genius.
Oh, gosh. And to speak those words
unbelievable.
That he wrote.
And I remember doing that in the cathedral, and the people that, worked there were very disturbed at what I was doing, and they were absolutely shocked when I lit the cigarette and then stomped it out in the sanctuary. Oh my, they couldn't abide that. And I had to explain to them, you know, that this is Job. This is a modern Job. And they got it, and they were very supportive. So
I can see some themes here that we're developing between these three movies.
Every time we get close
movies.
To filming in a famous cathedral, we have to present the script for clearance. Yeah.
Let me get, looks like Dana from California to join our conversation. And Dana, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So I literally just got back 2 weeks ago from this trip.
Buen camino.
The Camino de Santiago.
Yes. Oh, welcome home.
We had to do it by car because we didn't have enough time. We were going to go to Barcelona, and I was just looking through the travel book, and literally this page just opened up in front of me, and I started reading it, and I was so drawn to it. I said, we have to do this. So we came over from France, over the Pyrenees, started at St. John de Port, Pied de Port, the French way, and then came down to Pamplona, and then all the way out to Santiago, and all the way, you know, just seeing these people walking, and we stopped at a few towns, one of the larger town, Burgos and Lyon, which have incredible cathedrals. And then, of course, some of the smaller ones. It was just see pack, you know, backpackers all the way.
Well, Dana, let me just stop you there, only because in many ways the film, although on foot, follows this same path.
That's correct. Well, Dana, in fact, you know, I should make a clip because I didn't do it in the beginning when I was talking about when Taylor and I did the journey. We were in a car, too.
Oh, you were? Oh, okay.
I didn't have enough time, right? Yeah, we only had 2 weeks.
And there's a wonderful documentary by the British journalist named Brian Sewell, and he did it by car in a series called The Naked Pilgrim. So I think if it's good enough for Brian Sewell and Martin Sheen, it's good enough for you too, Dana.
Dana, thanks for calling into Radio Times. And one scene, we see bicyclists, and
right.
and one of the fellow travelers says, is that allowed?
Or right, of course it is,
can
yes.
you do that?
Yeah. By bike, by horse, by foot, and certainly by car. as Dana would attest.
Let me see what Gail from Wayne has to say. And Gail, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, you're on Radio Times.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
I'm on the air?
Yes, you are.
Steve.
Steve, go ahead.
I actually walked it. I didn't drive it.
Okay,
oh,
fair enough.
Buen Camino,
Steve.
How you doing?
Oh, good. How are you?
I did it twice. I did it 6 years ago, and it changed my life. There is a hierarchy among the people who walk it. We don't really see the bikers and the drivers as being pilgrims.
Right, they call them medio peregrinos.
Oh, they've been doing the hardcore
yes, half, right? half peregrino.
Because the trail itself has a certain feel to it that eludes someone who is flying, driving.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the difference between flying and driving.
Right, of course.
Of course.
But walking it. I was reading what you wrote about your son died in the storm. I know it's fiction, but I actually was on the trail during a storm going up the mountain.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
My. So you know the weather can...
The definition of a storm eluded me at the time, but I found out later it's when the winds are over 40 miles an hour.
Yeah, right.
It's a storm, and many of us... I walked it alone. Most of the people do walk alone.
Yeah, right.
And I must say, one of the things that's is very safe, and you feel very close to everything.
Well, yeah. Steve, I appreciate
you find out a lot.
Indeed, I'm sure you do, and I appreciate the call to Radio Times.
Yeah. Steve, you're going to relive your journey, I promise you, when you see the way.
We have just a couple minutes before we have to say goodbye, but if Emilio, let me go back to you. And are you still acting? I know that you were part of the, I hate this phrase, but nonetheless.
But you'll say it anyway.
I'm going to say it anyway because people will know what I'm talking about, this, you know, the Brat Pack.
Right.
And so you still do act.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, I'm writing the next, I may have written this one for Martin, I've written the next one for myself.
Oh, you have?
Right,
ooh.
Yeah, I'm gonna get back into the deep end of the pool and do double duty.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, yeah.
And this film is dedicated to your
grandfather. Right, Francisco Estevez, mm-hmm. whom I've had a better relationship and a real relationship now, 30 years after his passing.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, real connection to him.
And we should say that you also grow, I guess your grandfather...
He was a
gardener.
That's right.
He made
his own wine, grew his own grapes. He was a farmer, and I
you
lived,
had to be in that isolated
right,
area.
It was very very isolated, but I live very much like a Gallego, like a Spaniard back in California. I grow probably 50% of my own food and raise chickens for eggs and honey. We have bees for honey and worms. So yeah, I love it. I love being outdoors. I can't wait to get home, get my hands back in the soil.
Well, it's been a great pleasure, and I thank you both for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And our guests have been Emilio Estevez and Martin Sheen and their film The Way, opening nationally on Friday, October 7th. You can see it here in the Philadelphia area at the AMC Cherry Hill, Neshaminy, and Plymouth Meeting, and they are also appearing this evening at 7 o'clock for a meet and greet, and that's at the Walmart at Bensalem. Just very quickly, this song we're going to close with is an Alanis Morissette song called Thank You, and
that's
you chose
right.
this for
I
the
did.
Film as well.
Right, right.
There's a lot of music.
There is a lot of music. Alanis is an acquaintance of mine, and you know, there's a lot of major artists who participate in the soundtrack. James Taylor and Coldplay and Nick Drake and Alanis, of course, and we didn't have a lot of money to pay them, but I think they heard my heart when I would call and ask for the songs, and they gave them to us for our usage. I'm grateful to all of them.
Well, we're going to close things out with Alanis Morissette, a song called Thank You. Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, and the show is produced by Susan Greenbaum, Patty Leswing, Dennis Devine, and Debbie Builder. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times, and you can find out much more about this program. I'm Marty Moscoane. Thank you so much for joining us. And again, we will close things out with Alanis Morissette. And this is a song called Thank You, and it's from the new film called The Way.
How about you?